You've all heard these phrases. Forbidden fruit, the way of all flesh, at their wit's end, by the skin of their teeth, scapegoat, a leopard cannot change its spots, the writing on the wall, a fly in the ointment, you can't take it with you, go the second mile, the blind leading the blind. All these and many others originate in, as you know, the Bible. Through the years, they have become part of our everyday speech, even if we've never read the Bible. This is one indication of the Bible's influence. But there's much, much more, as we shall see. Let's take a look at a few facts. The word Bible means book of books, and that's what it is. 66 books, written by 40-some authors in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, coming from Palestine, Babylon, Greece, Rome, Asia Minor, and possibly Arabia, over a period of 1,500 years, and yet it has incredible unity, accuracy, and agreement. It's the most widely read book in the world. It's available in about 350 languages in its entirety, and in over 2,100 languages in one or more of the books. It's the best-selling book in the world. Every year it tops the best seller list. Isn't that incredible? In total, it has sold more than 5 billion copies. And this is according to Guinness World Book of Records, not just some crackpot evangelical trying to push the word. In second place is the Quran with only 800 million. It has had tremendous influence. Former Yale professor William Lyon Phelps says, more of our ideas, our wisdom, our philosophy, our art, our ideals come from the Bible than from all other books combined. John Dickerson is a hard-nosed investigative news reporter. He decided to investigate Jesus because he didn't really think he was for real. Whether he actually lived, what he actually said, and how his followers have impacted the world. His 10-year journey of investigation led to a wonderful relationship with Jesus himself, which he describes as a life of freedom, purpose, and significance. In his book, Jesus Skeptic, he shows some of the influence that Jesus' teachings have had on the world, on the scientific revolution. If you read about who these scientists were and the belief in God and how God inspired them in their inventions, hospitals and modern medicine, the end of open slavery, on literacy and public education, the Word of God is indestructible. And our first slide is Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Diocletian was a Roman emperor from 284 to 305. He ordered all scriptures to be burned. He hated the Bible. And all scripture owners to be killed if they didn't comply. He later boasted that he had completely exterminated the Christian writings from the face of the earth. But the next emperor, Constantine, became a Christian. And he wanted copies of the scriptures in all the churches. But where to find a scripture to even make a copy? He offered a reward. And within 25 hours, 50 copies of the scriptures emerged. You can't destroy the Bible. The French writer Voltaire tried to destroy the Bible with his vicious writings. But not long after his death, the very printing press that he had used to print his hateful literature was turning out copies of
the Bible.
I think of the Bible, excuse this irreverent comparison, like foxtail. Have you ever tried to get rid of foxtail, that weed? You can cut it, spray it, dig it up, and burn it, but it's still there. And that's our Bible. You can do whatever you want, but it is indestructible because it's the Word of God. Well, what makes this Bible so special? There's lots of reasons, and here's some of them. First of all, it's the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So these 40-some authors wrote what God dictated to them, and therefore it has to be true and relevant. It's also alive and powerful. In Hebrews 4, our next slide, says, and I like the way the Amplified Version has expanded on the words, for the Word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, that is, the completeness of our person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow. That's our Bible, alive and powerful. Not just words on a page. It actually has a life of its own. It's special because it reveals the nature of God. Want to know God better? Read the Bible. He wrote it. Read the Old Testament and see God as powerful, faithful, patient, unchanging, forgiving, wise, firm and demanding, yes, but always loving as he deals with his people, his wayward, disobedient, rebellious people. Dr. Larry Crabb, who has written the book 66 Love Letters, invites us to read the Bible as one long love story, the greatest love story ever told. From the moment that Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis chapter 3, right to Revelation, it's a story of God reaching out to his people and saying, I want you to be part of my family. I love you. Read the Gospels and you meet Jesus, teacher, healer, friend, Prince of Peace, Savior. Read on and read about the Holy Spirit, our comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, strengthener. The Bible not only reveals God, but he reveals who we are as believers. We're forgiven. We have right standing with God. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And we have the authority of the name of Jesus to overcome the obstacles in our life and in the world. The Bible also reveals why we're here. And Romans 11:36 says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. That's why we're here. It reveals his will for believers. Ephesians 3:16-19. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is his will for us. Wow. The Word of God is spirit food. Matthew 4:4 says that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Peter calls it the sincere milk of the Word, and we are to desire it that we may grow. The Word is special because it acts as a mirror and a measuring stick. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right." God doesn't use a car accident or a horrible storm or some other calamity to correct us. It's God's word. And a gentle but firm correction that just goes right in here. We can't read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 or about the attributes of real love in 1 Corinthians 13 without being convicted of our shortcomings or inspired to grow as believers. The Bible is special because it's a source of wisdom and guidance. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp," and we all know it, "to my feet and a light to my path." Also, David says in that psalm that the word makes us wiser than our enemies and gives us more understanding than our teachers. It's a manual for living, really. The Bible is special because its prophecies have been fulfilled and are still being fulfilled. It's estimated that in the birth, life, and death of Jesus alone, 300 prophecies from the Old Testament were fulfilled. Here's a familiar example. In Psalm 22, David speaks of soldiers piercing hands and feet, casting lots for garments. And there's other details too. He was foretelling the crucifixion of Jesus, of course, which occurred 1,000 years later. And at the time of writing, crucifixion hadn't even been invented. It was invented later by the Romans as the most cruel form of punishment that has probably ever been thought of. The Bible is special because it contains thousands of promises covering every area of our lives. And there are many books and sermons and pamphlets about these promises that are available for you to read. But I would encourage you, as I'm encouraging myself, to make your own list. As you, Pastor Keith was saying that we are to circle the promises. Okay, as you're reading, hey, this promise stands out for me. I'm going to have it on my ready list so that when I need it, it's available. The Bible is special because it motivates people to risk their lives and even die for it. In 1555, young William Hunter from Essex, England, was burned at the stake for reading the only Bible that was in his village, and it was chained to the altar of the church because people were not to read it, only the priest. Some 400 years later, another William, Bill Kapitaniuk, risked his life smuggling Bibles into Russia. Throughout history, thousands of people have been martyred for reading, preaching, translating, owning, transporting the Bible. Only the supernatural, precious Word of God would inspire people to make such sacrifices. Well, this is indeed a special book. So what's our responsibility? Well, Proverbs 4:20-22 gives us some basic instructions. It says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." Notice he gives us some pretty specific things here. Pay attention. In other words, focus. When we read the Bible, let's try to remove all distractions. Go to a quiet place where you can concentrate and really be able to derive from the Word what it has to say to us. He says, "Listen carefully to my words." We can listen to audio versions. We can read it aloud. I find reading aloud is really good. It forces you to slow down, and you really hear it, and you can't skip the way you can skim when you're reading by yourself. You have to get every word. and it really helps me, I know, to get more out of it. And also, listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. After all, He's our teacher. He can teach us and help us to understand what's in that word. Well, the third thing he said was, don't lose sight of them. Another version says, keep them before your eyes. Okay? In other words, we are to read, 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 and have the scriptures all over. Not just wherever you usually have your time with God, but some in the bathroom, some in the kitchen, some in your car, so that the word is always before your eyes. And then he says, let them penetrate deep into your heart. Well, that involves meditation, so we think about it, not just close the book and go on our way and say, well, I've done my little reading for today. I hope God is satisfied with me. We don't do it for God. We do it for ourselves so that we can get closer to God, right? And God isn't going to punish us if we don't do our reading that day. We didn't have that car accident because we didn't have our devotions that morning. God isn't like that. We have our devotions because we need it, right? God enjoys our fellowship, but He doesn't have to have our morning devotions. But He enjoys them if we're really there with Him. And also, besides meditating, it involves memorizing it too. Your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, David says. Now, I'm not going to deal with the last part of the verse because it says, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body, because that's two or three or four more sermons, which I'm not going to preach. But look at the benefits. Life and healing. Ooh. Okay. All right, we're to do all these things, but a recent survey found, and this was with Americans, but I imagine it's similar with Canadians, 88% of Americans own a Bible. That's not bad. But it ties in with our earlier statistics that it is the most widely, well, it's the most popular book, whether it's read or not. Okay, the average household has 4.4 Bibles. I'm sure the households here have at least that much, if not more. But only 26%, or about a quarter of the population, of the entire population, read the Bible regularly. We're supposed to be Christian countries. At least we were founded as Christian countries, right? And yet only 25% of us read the Bible regularly. Is it any wonder things are in a mess?
No.
I admit that the Bible is sometimes hard to read. Different time frames, different cultures, different types of writing, but that's no excuse. There are wonderful commentaries, and there are so many modern translations that make it easy just to get your tongue around the words, right? And there's online help. What else is our responsibility, and this I'm really working on, is to develop a hunger for and a craving for the Word. So it's not just on your to-do list. Read my Bible today. No, I want to read because it does something for me and it brings me into contact with God. Psalm 119, and I was pleased when Shireen was reading from it this morning. I thought, she's setting the stage here. David repeatedly expresses his love and craving for the Bible. He says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. And he had only the law. We have the whole Bible. Just think how blessed we are. He says, my eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Another thing we are to do is to share its message with grace and boldness. This powerful, trustworthy word of God is so awesome that we can't keep it to ourselves. We need to share it with our friends and neighbors. And God will give us the grace and boldness to do so. And also, we need to help others access it, those who don't have it, by donating. And there are many opportunities to do that. I'm sure your mailbox is several times a week, if not every day, has plea from some Christian ministry to donate towards the distribution of the word. On Facebook lately, I've noticed that Canadian Bible Society has this ad, and maybe you've read it too. The demand for Bibles in China is so great that printers cannot keep up. That is why a man named Yong began copying a shared Bible by hand for 5 long years. This is the deep hunger for God's word that your gift can help satisfy today. Christian Aid Ministries speaks of a critical shortage of Bibles because of the massive growth of the church. Hallelujah! Tens of millions of Christians are still unable to access God's word because Bibles are scarce or illegal to possess. After receiving their shoeboxes from Samaritan's Purse, children are invited to enroll in a 12-lesson discipleship program called the Greatest Journey, which has resulted in many decisions for Christ. So when you pack that shoebox and enclose a donation, you are helping to spread the word of God, not only joy to a child as he or she opens his box. Dan Butifioco, founder and president of the Historical Bible Society, says, "Keep turning the pages of this remarkable book. Read it with an open mind and an open heart. It contains pure truth about God, about life, the nature of mankind, and our hearts as human beings." And James Merritt, the author of 52 Weeks Through the Bible, says, "Even the most jaded critic of the Bible cannot deny the impact of this magnificent book on our culture, our nation, our world, and history itself. What the Bible has done for the world, it can do for your life. Read and be changed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that here we are free to own it, to read it, to talk about it, to share it. Thank you. Help us to develop a greater hunger for it, a love and a craving for it. Help us to discipline ourselves to read it regularly, to think about it, to apply it to our lives. And give us a willingness to share it with our friends and neighbors and to help making it accessible to the whole world. Amen. While the praise team is coming up for Until Then, I'd like to just comment that maybe you've noticed the absence or scarcity of Bibles in our pews right now. We had to clean out the old copies because they were pretty badly worn. We've ordered new ones, but according to the publisher or the company, because of a scarcity of paper and labor shortage, it will take longer than normal. But hopefully before Christmas, we'll have brand new Bibles in our pews.